Good afternoon, Dr. Brad Stocks. Good afternoon, Dr. Brad Stocks. I'm not hearing. Dr. Brad Stocks, good afternoon.
Hello?
Good afternoon, Dr. Brad Stocks.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, are you hearing me?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Yes.
All right. It's a little bit distracting hearing your voice coming back at you, though. I have some news for those non-believers with regards to the CARICOM, the integration movement. This is something that has been happening ever since.
Yes.
You know, it's almost like you're saying in order for everyone to get a firearm, you must have a license. But still, yeah, there's so many people out there that have firearms. Okay, you can't stop it. You can try and reduce the amount of illegal firearms. But there are people that have firearms all over Barbados. Same thing with the free movement of people and the CARICOM integration. It is something that is alive and well and has been for years. I'll give you a little example. My mother is not a Barbadian. I was born in Barbados. My wife is not a Barbadian. My father's mother is not a Barbadian. Right? Mm-hmm. But they come from all over. So if they think that is something that they can really do to stop it, they need to wake up. Because it is a movement. And it's almost like an earthquake. You know? You really can't stop it. Yes? So I am 150% in favor of the free movement of Caribbean citizens. Mm-hmm. And as I said, it is something that has been going on for years. It is just that they're looking to more or less put an official name to this whole movement.
How do you feel about, yes, you are in agreement with regional integration like I am. I am kind of trying to raise some of the issues that I would have seen here played out in terms of people believing that their jobs are going to be in jeopardy, one, and two, that the criminal element is transported or imported as we have in immigration, as well as the other side to it, what about the advantages that could come? Because I find when people create these, not create, but people make arguments, their suggestions are only speak to the negative element of it. But what about persons who come with high technical skills and competencies that could strengthen Barbados' workforce? Also, what about when persons come with more capital? I think one of the challenges that a lot of people are having is they think that the worker that is coming is not a worker with high technical skills or a worker that can bring more value to the country.
Well, you see, the first thing I think that needs to be impressed upon our people is they need to get some knowledge. You see, they need to be educated about the whole movement for them to understand and appreciate it, you know? That's why they're looking at it so negatively.
Narrowly.
Right? I am wondering if also many of them really travel within the region and understand what the whole idea of the movement of people. Have they traveled to St. Vincent, Grenada? Have they traveled? I don't understand. When I hear them, I don't understand. You know, it is amazing. The same thing that applies right now. If you're going to, for argument's sake, apply for a job overseas in another country, you have to produce a certificate of character. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that is one of the safeguards. Also, I'm certain you would have to come with some recommendation. Same way, like if you're applying for a job in your own country, you know, you're not just going to leave one country and just go in another country and just pick up a job without any type of background checks or anything like that.
You mean the employer would, of course, do the background checks?
Yes, the employer.
But
and
people, and I hear,
I believe they would.
I hear the commentary. People are not necessarily speaking to the university grad or the skilled artisan or whatever. People talk about the squatting scenario. People talk about the criminal element. And then they also talk about the workers who take less than what would go on the market, whether it's domestic work and job work and those things. And people feel that is impacting them as, you know, in terms of causing their demand for work to be watered down.
That is where education needs to be. You know, you need to have. You see, like when they had the AIDS czar, and one of the focus was trying to educate people and type of more or less like reduce or eliminate the stigma when it comes to AIDS and so on. Educate the people. They need to do that also when it comes to integration, because a lot of people has a lot of false notions and about really and truly what the benefits are.
There's also this scenario with Guyana. Right now, Guyana has a real serious brain drain where they have some highly intelligent persons who do well up until a certain age, but as soon as they get to a certain age, they leave the country. And they come in the Caribbean. They come in the Caribbean. They don't necessarily take the most menial jobs. And they also leave. I think a lot of them go abroad. We have a high Guyanese community in a number of countries. And that emigration is impacting their ability to, you know, their resource, that brain drain is impacting on the country itself. Some, I understand, have gone back home, but not in any measure. I have one or two friends in Guyana and colleagues as well. Mm-hmm. And some of them have gone back home. They've lived abroad and have gone back home. I don't know if that is a major contribution to what's happening in terms of growth right now, but incrementally, the country is starting to see the value of having its people who have higher technical skills in it. But this matter will not leave people, trust me. People feel when someone is passionate about, whether pro or against, mm-hmm. about a matter, particularly one in terms of immigration. We've seen what happened with Brexit. When people feel genuinely upset, disappointed, frustrated, opposed, whatever, mm-hmm. with the movement of people in one space, I don't think that you get them to change their perspective that easily. And I'll tell you, if you were not a child of a non-Barbadian and a nephew of a non-Barbadian and a grandson of a non-Barbadian, you might not have had the same perspective you have now. And that's why I say people need to have experiences. They have to get out, they have to travel, they have to go different places in order to bring them to the perspectives that they have at the ages that they have. Because when we are void of that experience and when we are void of those opportunities, then we then end up being either xenophobic. And I'm not saying that a person who's anti-immigration rules or anti persons coming to their country that they're all xenophobic, because I know there are legitimate challenges that people see and legitimate challenges that they face. But I'm saying that, as you said, experience always causes people to look at things from a different perspective.
Correct.
You have anything else?
You hit it on the head.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, too. Have a good day.
Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. The number to call, 434-1790. You're on the air.
Yeah, Megan, a weep.
Down to brass tacks. Yes, you're on the air.
I'm making a report of a tree that is falling down out in Mars Road of the hospital.
In Martindale's Road?
Yeah. I saw a lot of people going down park cars there on the evening and conscious that the tree is falling.
Okay.
If it falls, it's going to pop down some power lines or it may damage someone passing there on the evening. I found Barbara just laying them power. And they tell me they may not do what cutting down the trees. I found
QEH themselves is on their property, isn't it?
No, it's on the land of the hospital.
Oh, opposite the school?
I think that's government land, yeah.
Yes. MTW?
Where people come and dump stuff there right in the skate.
Whoa. MTW, that would be your NCC.
Well,
but you're making it. Yeah, share it now. Tell me. You said it. Martindale's Road, a tree is falling and it has implications.
The only thing that's keeping the tree right now is the two power lines on the line. That's what we're working on.
Okay. We hope that someone hears from MTW to consider going there and making sure that doesn't hurt someone or damage a car. It could be a child or an adult. Thanks for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello.
Good afternoon. You're on the air. I can hear you clearly. Yes, sir. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Can you hear me well?
Hello.
Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello. Good afternoon.
You're probably not hearing. Your phone is probably on mute. Okay. Yes, sir.
Hello?
I said hello. Yes, I can hear you.
Good afternoon. I would like to make a contribution.
Sure.
On the declaration of assets and freedom of movement.
Okay.
I'm getting a bad feedback.
Yes. A couple of persons have made that comment.
Anyhow, you're there?
I'm here.
Yes. I heard something about people declaring their assets, right? Politicians, right?
Yes.
The members of parliament have been to declare their assets. The question I want to know, to whom are these assets being declared?
Apparently it was shared in a sealed envelope to the clerk of parliament.
No. The question is, how does that help us?
I don't know.
How does that help us? Educate me here.
I'm not sure.
It puzzles me because in fact, let me say this. I'm no fan of declaration of assets. But because all I'm interested as a citizen and a taxpayer is accountability for the taxpayer's money.
Yes.
And I see no point of having people declaring their assets to somebody in parliament. We don't know what they are. We don't know anything. But we have no accountability for the money granted to schools, no accountability for the statutory compliance, no granted to these institutions, and I could go on and on. Now, what sense?
When you say no accountability, though, we have chairmen.
Chairpersons. What about financial statements at the end of the year?
They have a responsibility to. Well, over the last three, four days.
All I'm saying, every single institution. The ones that every government institution should, according to the Act, said not all of them, they should produce an audited financial statement within 6 months of the end of the financial year. Every Act said not all of them state that. And let us see that being done. I would love to see that being done. I don't want to hear what any politician has. I don't want to know them or what they own. That's their business.
You know, you can't please people. You know, the gentleman asked the question earlier today about he hasn't heard whether these persons had to do it. At that time, I didn't have the information. It has subsequently been shared with me that they had to declare their assets and it was submitted in a sealed envelope to the Clerk of Parliament. You're now saying That's not good enough. You want something else.
Yeah, that would mean to me that makes no sense to me. I mean, as a
did we not say that we want to know what assets know. These people have when they come into office?
Right, but how do the public would know when the clerk of parliament has them in the seal envelope?
But they're supposed to share it with the public?
They're going to share. No, I'm just saying what sense it makes.
Okay.
If he has it in the seal envelope, when they come, when they leave now, and what is going to happen? I'm just asking how, I'm just looking at it. I'm trying to try to understand what is happening here. Because I don't understand it. First of all, let me say this. I feel that the activation of assets is the funny thing. Take a young guy who runs for parliament.
Mm-hmm.
He scarcely would have any assets, right?
Yes.
So it would be embarrassed the guy. He would scarcely have any assets. On the other hand, if a fella has, when he leaves, has too many assets, the people are going to say, oh Lord, look, he stole a lot of money. So I don't like the idea of the public saying assets at all.
You can't please everyone. But then you went on shortly thereafter to talk about boards and...
No. All I'm telling you is that all the institutions that are owned by government, take schools. All the schools get money from Treasury.
Yes.
The National Assistance Board, the IDC, the Tourism Authority, all these people are funded from our tax, through money from Treasury.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is there should be some accountability for the funds by some financial statement at the end of the year.
And that's the expectation. In fact, I heard the Prime Minister herself mention that even if it wasn't being done in the past, it is now being done.
Well,
the request has been made.
Well, I hope I see it.
We will hope that it becomes a norm, as in every single year. I have just been appointed to a board.
Oh, right. If you
didn't know, no.
Yeah,
I mean, another board.
Yeah, I saw your name.
No, that's another one you know about. You don't know about a school board.
Well, no, you didn't know anything.
And one of the responsibilities, and I went and I got the Education Act, sir, and I read most of it. I'm not complete, but I should be before the first board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things in the Education Act, the funds and the resources of the boards of management, those monies have been voted by us, by Parliament.
Parliament, this is what I'm telling you.
Right? And one of the responsibilities is for the board to take care of the monies and the properties vested in the board. And every year, the board of management is supposed to have audited financial statements.
But they don't. Many don't. And many of the institutions don't have any. Some 6 years
right.
ago, I heard some years ago, madam, and I was shocked to hear this, that the people's money in something like National Insurance Board didn't have a financial statement for over 6 years.
Yeah, we heard that. And those chairpersons need to ensure that within their tenure, they follow the act. And they look at their responsibility.
All right. Well, we will see. We will see. Well, but as I said to you, if we get audited financial statement for every institution, I don't care what a politician owns or what he doesn't own. Let me look at them and see some accountability. But the financial statement will tell me a lot.
And I would say for a number of institutions, there are audited financial statements.
There might be some. I know that.
And unfortunately, the bad apples where you run 2-3 years without statements, those are the ones that come to the fore. And it is unfortunate.
But I'm telling you, there's one that I know about. That I think that is all pretty up to date on time. That is Central Bank. That's what
right.
I know. But I know that a majority of the others, I mean, I used to deal with them when they were working bank.
I don't know if you're familiar with the meeting that took place 2 days ago. Was it 2 days ago? Yes, Monday, where all of the board chairs and their deputies were invited, and members of certain organizations where they had to come in, and they were given a little insight on the expectations, and there were a few presentations by key persons, and it is hoped that, and I'm attending one tomorrow,
right,
which speaks to the same school boards.
Right, okay.
Where every single member of the board is invited, and I think there's going to be a discussion on the Education Act, the expectations of those persons. And if persons are given those what to do, those to-dos, then it is hoped that they follow through, etc. If they're not told, then people can wallow and not fulfill. But I always believe that what is inspected and those things that are measured, what is it expected gets inspected, what is inspected. But I thank you for your contribution. You have anything else?
I have to go on the freedom of movement, right?
Well, yes. Hello? You mentioned it, yes.
I want to talk to you for freedom of movement.
Yes.
But before I say that, I want to say to you, I hope that you'll come and tell us next time when your report is done. And that is...
Well, bear in mind, this is an annual report, so you don't expect...
No, the annual report, at the end of the financial year, you can tell us.
Yes.
First of March.
Shame on me if I don't work with the board to ensure that it happens. Yes, sir.
All right, good. Freedom of movement.
Yes.
Now, freedom of movement is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I recall as a young boy during the federal years, or 58, 62, there was every Saturday morning, I used to listen to a federal report from Trinidad, right?
Yes.
It was given by a man, I remember the man's name, a man called Willie Richardson, and I believe the late Oliver Jackman gave a few.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to say is this. From the inauguration of the Federation in 1958 until the dissolution in 62, every Saturday morning I heard the word freedom of movement. You know
mm-hmm.
why? There was no agreement. That was a thorny issue for the federal leaders at the time. Nobody could never. In fact, the Federation started and ended, and
mm-hmm.
there was no agreement on freedom of movement.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No agreement. And of course, when Trinidad got independence in 62, Trinidad implemented one of the most rigid immigration policies in the region.
Mm.
Now, what I'm saying is this. I am not a fan of freedom of movement for Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you why. Barbados is the most densely populated of all these islands. Overfluent, it seems, in the parish of St. Michael. I mean, I cannot understand why, even, for example, something like talking about single economy or whatever. I mean, we are not there yet, but to talk about it.
CSME.
Mm-hmm. For example, we were trying to, most of those islands have alien land holding legislation. We don't have it. Yet, this is the most densely populated islands, and we were pushing to get rid of that. I thought we would do the same thing as the others. You think so?
No. Actually, Dennis schooled me in the history of the alien land holdings a couple months ago.
Uh-huh.
I'm smiling at him now. But seriously, the setup was a little different. And therefore, that's why our legislation is a little different. And those countries now benefit from the CIP as a result of their alien land holdings. We don't have that. And it would be a retrograde step for us in Barbados to tell foreigners that they cannot hold...
But
they cannot purchase property when they come. We were far more open as a society.
But don't you think they should reciprocity?
No. But sorry, reciprocity is different from when you say reciprocity. You mean get
I
what
mean, in
from
the
what?
Sense of, look, if Antigua, I understand it. Antigua, you can only get a leasehold to the land, right?
Mm-hmm.
But an Antigua can come to Barbados and buy land and get a freehold title. Is that fair?
Of course, it's fair. It's fair to who is it unfair to? A Barbadian wanting to purchase land in.
And I go to buy land in Antigua, and I can only get a leasehold title.
Yes, you can only get.
You can come to Barbados and get a freehold.
Mm-hmm.
How is that fair to me?
Yes, but do you want to go and purchase land in Antigua?
But
very serious. Things become unfair when you are trying to get something and you can't get it.
The possibility, yeah, they might want to do it.
Possibility.
Might want to do it. You know.
Mm.
No, but then again, right? Let me ask you a question. Isn't it possible that when we could do years ago people went to the United States on immigration?
Sorry?
Right?
Years ago?
The Barbadians were recruited to work on farms.
Yes.
On sugar farms in the United States.
Yeah.
No, and they wanted sugar workers, so they recruited them here. Rather than this thing about freedom of movement, if Guyana now has oil, Guyana's economy is now opening up oil and gas and so on. If Guyana wants workers, can't they not say, look, from Jamaica, we want something from Barbados and so on and so on? Why not? Why is the need for it? It's freedom of movement.
But you know that this isn't something that's now being talked about. This is. This was on our books even way back in Federation. Yes, Federation would have.
Federal years they were discussing it.
Way back in 1952.
And they were sensible. The federal leaders were sensible not to agree to it. And I commended them.
So why we have a European Union right now?
But the European Union has its own problems. But listen. Let me tell you, European Union. The European Union, they develop because you don't... Look, a group of poor people will never, ever achieve any success on in unity.
That's a strong statement. Poor people will never achieve any success in unity.
No, because they're going to be jealous of each other. Look at the unity.
So you assume that poor people are jealous people?
Let me ask you. What is your opinion? You know why the European Union made success? Integration in Europe. You don't realize it took place at a certain time in their history with a certain level of development?
No, I don't realize that. I realize that free movement was going on for the longest while in the European Union.
No, I'm saying that the integration...
Bear in mind, with much wranglings from non-integrationalists as well.
No, but to me, if they said their integration movement, I mean, it started with the coal and steel community in 1957, I believe, and it grew on to the present European Union.
Mm-hmm.
But it achieved a certain measure of economic success. We are not going to have any success in the Caribbean with all these countries with no economies. In fact, a friend of mine always refers to them as one-foot economies.
Okay.
And I cannot see countries with one-foot economies.
I certainly can't convince you about you started by saying that you're not in favor of it, so and I started by saying that I am in favor of it. But so
let me ask you this. Say this to me. I want you to take us through where we are with. I heard CSME. I heard the Jamaican Prime Minister, he's always talking about CSM, Caribbean Single Market. He never mentions economy.
Mm-hmm.
The only
one
I hear talking about economy is Barbados. Economy, and there's no single economy. Because they haven't moved. In fact, we have not even developed a proper single market. And if one day they call you, and I could go through with you the development of the European, from the coal and steel community in Europe,
mm-hmm.
right down to the common market and eventually the European Union. And you'll see where we are on that, the road.
Okay. Thank you so much for your contribution today. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Imagine, your living room sofa is a director's chair for all your favorite movies. And with a touch of your finger, you have Hollywood at your command. The evolution has arrived. Introducing Flow Evo, giving you more control of more movies, more sports, more binging, more excitement, anywhere you are. There's a world of entertainment here, and you run the show. Flow Evo.
Miami, here I come. Wish I could travel. Girl, do like me. I got 15,000 Welcome Scotia points for signing up and using my Aero Platinum MasterCard. With round trips at just 20,000 Scotia points to Miami, New York, and other popular destinations, I'm already more than halfway there.
True? Well, get set for company, because I'm on my way to apply for an Aero MasterCard and get my 15,000 Welcome Scotia points.
Promotion ends August 31st, 2018. Conditions apply. Scotiabank. It starts with you.
Do you hear that racket? That is the sound of seven scientists at ESSO, thinking, working. Listen, they are discovering the precise combination of seven key ingredients in ESSO Synergy gasoline that helps improve fuel economy. These science folks sure know how to party. Sorry. ESSO, energy lives here. The ESSO brand is a trademark of ExxonMobil Corporation and is used under license.
It's gonna be an endless summer of specials at Marshall Trading. Come in and catch wave after wave of deals. Up to 40% off outdoor furniture. Ride your way to a summer of grilling with Thermos grills reduced by 30%. Plus hundreds of other items on special in our paint, electrical, and tool departments. Hurry into any of our three locations at Wilde, Welch's, or East Point and take advantage of our summer of endless savings today.
Marshall Trading.
All the ball-by-ball action of the Hero CPL T20 Cricket Series on Match Days is on The Beat 104.1 FM. Coverage is brought to you by KFC. Get in the game with KFC. It's finger-licking good. And Guardian Life of the Caribbean. Live easy. Ensure complete balanced nutrition for everyday health. And Carib, live in our world.
Pet owners are responsible for the protection of their pets during disaster events. If you plan to evacuate, plan for your pet as well, because they are not allowed in public emergency shelters. If you go to friends or relatives, and if it's okay to take your pets, also take your pet survival kit as well. Your kit should include proper ID, collar and tag, carrier or cage, leash, at least 2 weeks supply of moist pet food to preserve water, water or food bowls, any necessary medications, and plenty of newspaper for sanitary purposes and disinfectant. After the disaster, be careful in allowing your pets outside. Downed power lines, damaged buildings, and other animals and insects brought with the disaster could also present real dangers to your pet. Also, take care not to allow your pet to consume food or water which may have become contaminated. Be ready. Be hurricane ready.
Dr. Brass Tacks, the time is 1:13 p.m., 1:03. We're going to 1:30, 1:30 p.m. Dr. Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm having an echo. I'm having an echo back again, you know? Anyway, my question is, I am concerned that after the Minister of Tourism has made such a profound statement that the tourist industry is in crisis, then on Sunday, he did not show up to defend that statement. I thought that to make a statement as serious as that, then not to be there to defend it, I find that was very poor.
Was he invited?
Except if he were ill or something like that.
But was he invited?
Pardon?
Was he invited? That's the first question. In order for you to make the statement, he did not show. You are assuming there was an invitation sent and he didn't take it.
When I heard the statement being made by the radio, I was of the impression that he was going to be there because he's the one who made the statement. Then he's the one who would have to defend that statement, not somebody else.
Not necessarily. He made some statements and he gave a press conference with his details. Starcom, through its Brass Tacks Sunday program, then sought to hear from persons within the sector and to bring some discussion on it. I don't disagree that he couldn't have called in, but at the same time, don't say that he didn't defend it or that he didn't come on because he wasn't invited, and I know that.
But you see, if he had a press conference to say what he had to say, that does not give the public an opportunity to question him on it, see, because...
So there were no persons there in the...
I don't know that. Okay. I don't know that.
Did you see the presentation? Did you see the press conference?
No, I didn't see it, okay. But I didn't see it. All I'm saying is that if, you see, coming to the radio would give a wider audience an opportunity for him to not only say what he's been saying, but to defend it, and so the public would be able to quiz him on it. See, because it is something that I think is very serious, too serious to just say it and just let it go like that, you know?
Yeah.
Now, can I move on to something
else? Sure.
I find that there's an echoing back here, kind of very confusing. My voice is coming back to me, you know?
You don't like the sound of your voice?
No, it's coming. I love my voice. I'm saying that when I say something, it's just coming back to me all the time.
I'm
know?
Really sorry. I can't do anything about that right now.
Mm-hmm. It's not your fault, but anyway, I heard a caller spoke earlier. I believe it was a lady called Miss Kelman. I want to align myself to the statement she made when she spoke about other ways, and me when she was working in the hotel industry, how she had introduced hotel guests going out to other persons, Barbadian's house,
yes,
to have that experience. I think that's a laudable thing. I like that because I haven't worked in the industry for about 18, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I remember clearly how I myself, because I worked directly with them, I used to take them dancing. I've taken them to party.
Mm-hmm.
I have taken them on island tours as well. And I remember when we had the Island Inn. They had Alessandro's at that in those days and so on. They used to have dances at Carlton Club there in Black Rock and other places. I think that having local mingle with tourists is very important because it gives them the experience of the culture. And I believe that what should happen now, seeing that the government has just, the minister has just asked for a new committee. I don't know how many, there are quite a few, it seems to me. That they need to be able to earmark areas and persons within the hotel sector that will be able to cater to these tourists. Like how you say, you see, you have, for instance, Kelman down in the north and other places across Barbados where there are functions going on, local functions, local parties, house parties, and so on. I think this would be a very good thing for the tourist product that we have to introduce to the people and get the locals back into it. I think this is going to be healthy, and this is going to give the tourists something to talk about and something to look forward to coming back to Barbados. So that is my contribution that I'd like to make. Another thing I'd like to ask. Hello?
Still here with you?
Right. Now, let me just run this by you. Have you heard any policy statement where after the assets of the parliamentarians are declared, when they will be able to get back the statement, at what point, whether it be whether they retire from politics altogether, when they just lose their seat in parliament, at what point do they get back this asset statement? At what point? And not only that, if they declare their assets now, and then while they're in parliament, they attain other assets as a result of those investments which they might have had already, are they able, or is there any position where they can now have a new a written document to add to what they had, or as part of what they've given a rate to add to it? How is this done? Have you heard anything about that?
I haven't heard any policy statement, but just to say, when a minister shares his asset status with the Clerk of Parliament, you're asking when does he get it back after his end in office? When you say get it back, wouldn't that be a document detailing his income and his other assets, whatever they are, whether it's property or whatever? Your question is whether he gets it back. Why would he have to get back a document that he shared with the Clerk of Parliament?
Wait a minute. Is the Clerk of Parliament going to keep that in his possession forever?
But he's not giving away anything that he doesn't have. In other words, if I declare my assets, all I am basically doing is indicating, dear sir or madam, I, Lisa Gale, own a computer, I own a cell phone, and I reside at number one Stinger Street, Martindale's Road. This property was bequeathed to me by my such and such, and it is valued at XYZ. And I put everything else in there, my income, which is my whatever comes in outside of Parliament. And this is what I'm accustomed to. Because remember, we have persons in Parliament who are not always ministers. So when they declare their assets and they're still getting income from such and such a place, that is also declared. So when I put all of that information by letter and I share that with the Clerk of Parliament, your query is whether they get it back. Why do they need to get it back?
I am speaking about after. I understand it's going to be there, let's say, for 5 years, 10 years as a parliamentarian when they're in their parliament and they're dealing with public funds and so on. That is understandable. That's the reason why you are asking for it in the first place. But after their public service is finished, does it remain there with somebody else when they have left government? That's what I'm asking. For anybody else to come and have it, other parliamentarians or whoever else?
Because you mean information?
to show while I'm a public servant,
mm-hmm.
what I had, and when I leave, what I still have or add to it or whatever. So that my question is, does that remain there forever? Because if he's no longer parliamentarian, why would his information have to remain?
Someone said to me that they saw my name on some documents a couple of years ago. And by the way, it is not the Clerk of Parliament, it is the Cabinet Secretary, and is in a sealed envelope and placed in a safe. Your question is whether they get it back. I believe they may get it back if it is in a safe, because safes mean for safekeeping. But what I was going to answer you to indicate to you earlier is, if I share information with the Government of Barbados on the 15th of January 2006, that was shared at that time, that remains government records. Why do you have to strip it from the records because I'm no longer permanent secretary of that particular ministry? If you understand what I mean, you're sharing documentation as at the 23rd of January 2006. When you leave office 5 years thereafter, then that would have been a record. But in this case, because it is in a sealed envelope, I hear you, and I think that it will be given back to the minister or the MP after that. And I'm going to seek some clarity and get it for you before 1:30.
Thank you very much.
You are welcome, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We go until 1:30 p.m. We have a couple callers. We have one on the ear. Good afternoon. I can hear you. Good afternoon, Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yeah, I'm calling here. a gentleman calling about the tree in Martindale Road.
Yes.
So he said that the Lighten Power said they have nothing to do with it.
But he said Lighten he called always, and that was what was said.
But Lighten Power always says when you a tree on the wire, don't touch it, call them.
Call them, yes.
So if that tree hurt some person, now who would you call? Because
mm-hmm.
he tells the gentleman they have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, he said that. You're right. He said it at first, and then at the end, he said the only thing that is holding it up is some wires.
Right.
So.
And somebody going out, because Lighten Power also said that the amount of current in the wire go through the tree sometimes, and if you touch that tree.
You can also, yes.
Right. Suffer. So if some person passed Martindale Road and touched that tree, and it shocked them, who responsible? I think Lighten Power now make a mistake telling the gentleman.
Suppose what the gentleman said is what he heard might have been incorrectly. We can't come to that conclusion. What we could do...
No, he said that. Lighten Power said
that. He said that, but people say many things. Just now, I got some information while we were on break that the sealed envelope was shared with the Clerk of Parliament. I'm now being reliably informed here that it was shared with the Cabinet Secretary in a sealed envelope and placed in a safe. So... sometimes people share information on air and it's not always entirely accurate. So we have to be very careful where we hear our sources. What I would say, though, is that the officials in the communications department of the Light and Power did hear the conversation. I'm sure they would try to rectify that. They would try to rectify that situation. But thank you so much for your call. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. The
yes,
time
ma'am,
is... Yes.
Am I on?
Yes.
Oh,
probably good. Have a minute. Make it quick.
I want to know I want a comparison to understand this freedom of movement
mm-hmm.
among the Caribbean.
Yes.
We have many of our families who left here and went to America, Canada, wherever they could find a better living, let's say.
Yes.
How does that compare to what we are talking about as freedom, this movement thing?
They can't, meaning when you say compare, you mean whether there's no...